Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. It's Gabby Roslin here, sitting in for Chris this week with Ricky Wilson and Sam Pinkham. Coming up, the BAFTA award-winning and always hilarious Harry Enfield takes us through the stage adaptation of Channel 4's hit sitcom The Windsors' Endgame. The poptastic Louise Redknapp spills the beans on reprising her role as Violet in the UK tour of 9 to 5, the musical. And the dead funny duo of Charlotte Ritchie and Kyle Smith-Bino delve into the much-anticipated third series of the supernatural comedy Ghosts. Dapper Dave, over to you. Who's first up, please?
He's created more iconic comedy characters than you've had hot dinners, and the brilliance just keeps on coming. The Windsors' Endgame is at the Prince of Wales Theatre in London, and here to tell us more is a very bonny Prince Charlie indeed. It's the one and only Harry Enfield!
Well, hey!
Harry, hello.
Hello. Hello, Gabby, my co-star many years ago.
Many years ago, and neither of us can quite remember what happened when they just played it. I was hiding under the desk because I couldn't really remember it.
Really remember either. But that's because I've drunk so much since then. You and me.
Harry, you see, you're on stage. You're Prince Charles. We saw you on television doing it.
I'm in the theatre, darling. I'd never done the theatre till 5 years ago. And now I'm in musical theatre, darling. I sing, darling. So I have to call everyone darling, darling.
Stop now. You called everybody darling before. What are you talking about? You always called everybody darling. You've always been
maybe
a lovely.
I did. I always thought I used rude words that I can't use on the radio.
No, you can't use those ones. No, you really can't. Please don't, Harry.
But now I call them darling.
But you're Prince Charles.
Yes, I'm very much enjoying myself. Thank you. I have sword fights and everything.
Can you do Prince Charles now? So can we say good morning to you, Charles? What's it like being on stage? Go on.
Don't call me Charles. I think you call me Sir.
Yes, good morning, Sir. Prince Charles.
Good morning.
What's it like being on stage in the Windsors' Endgame, please, Sir?
Well, it's absolutely wonderful because we take Britain back to the Dark Ages where there's no roads or no infrastructure and no pesticides, and we make the world a better place by torturing Meghan on a rack, amongst other things.
It's very naughty.
It's very good. We've got
naughty.
We've got live SEX. Am I allowed to say SEX in the morning?
You can spell it.
Yeah, we've got live SEX.
Nice.
And we've got torture. Songs and millions of jokes.
And how is it different to you, Harry, for being on TV? Because obviously you're playing to a live audience, you're getting the reactions immediately to your gags.
Yeah, well, that's what I used to do in the old days.
Stand up
tour and things.
Of course.
You know, it's fun. Yeah, but it's much more fun doing this because I've got lots of other people to take the pressure off me, and they're all really funny. Tracy Ann Oberman is my Camilla, the evil Queen Camilla, and. You know, there's just a brilliant cast. I won't go through them all, but they're all absolutely fantastic. And they're all sort of proper West End actors, except for me and Tim. And Tim Waller, who plays Prince Andrew, and Matthew Cottle, who plays Edward. We're the only ones from the telly series. But everyone else is brilliant and have sort of recreated the characters for the stage.
How does it work with the royal family? Do you just have carte blanche to do whatever you like with the royals, or do they have to sign off every gag?
No, they don't sign off anything. No.
I think that's amazing.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the only thing is that there's a song at the end that we all sing, and we all had a bit of a rebellion because there was a song about we always do our duty and never ever take a bus, right? And we all had a thing of saying, oh, come on, it's the last song. Can we change that to never, ever make a fuss?
Right.
Because that's actually the case of the royal family. You can say what you like about them and they never, ever make a fuss. You know, they just get on with it, don't they?
Fair play.
Yeah.
Harry, can we go back to some of your characters? Because, of course, we were talking about Kevin and Perry and then loads of money. I mean, they've gone down in history and people still today use their catchphrases. I mean, kids today still know about Kevin and Perry. Is it wonderful to have created these characters that people are still talking about?
Yes, it's sort of slightly odd. When my kids were at school, you know, they're too old now, but when they were, there was some time when they were 13 when, you know, the English teacher, or in assembly, I think it was in assembly, and they got shown Kevin and Perry. You know, Kevin becoming a teenager, and obviously that was excruciating for them.
Oh, it's just brilliant, though. Brilliant. For people haven't seen it, go and watch it on YouTube, it's brilliant.
My eldest has seen that scene. She loved it.
Just brilliant. Good.
It's timeless, isn't it?
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Well, I hope so, anyway. But I'm not timeless. I couldn't play him anymore, but I can play 74-year-old Prince Charles.
No, but I
but
listen.
Not 14-year-old Kevin.
I saw you. We bumped into each other at Regent's Park boating pond, and you were about to go row. You were rowing your kids out into the middle of Regent's Park pond lake, boating lake. So you're not.
I'm a slave. I'm a slave.
The other characters as well, loads of money, and all of those, and and Tim. I mean, they're just characters that still stand up today, and the far show, all the things that you did. I mean, those characters are just brilliant, Harry.
Well, thank you very much, Gabby. Well, yeah, I'm still like Paul. What's weird is Paul always used to go. Paul Whitehouse. I never go to the theatre. I don't like the theatre. Theatre should be no longer than a football match, but I don't like it.
It's changed. He's
changed.
And
now he's been in Only Fools and Horses.
He's changed.
And I'm in this. But one of our things about this was to make sure it was only 90 minutes. You know, the same length as a football match. And it's running in at 129. So a football match without extra time. And, you know, with masses of laughs and, you know, no extra time. And then Paul, afterwards, he goes, "How was the show tonight, darling?" And then I text him back, "It was wonderful, darling," and get flowers from him and things like that. We've completely changed.
Really have changed.
Yeah,
you weren't like that back in the 90s at all.
No, awful. I know.
Oh, well, mate, it looks fabulous. We can't wait to come and watch
it. Please come and see it.
We'd love to.
Please do it. It's a really good laugh. And very quick.
The Windsor's is 1 hour 29. The Windsor's Endgame, the Prince of Wales Theatre, until Saturday, the 9th of October. It's a long run. Tickets and info available at thewindsorsendgame.com. Harry, what an absolute pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks Harry.
So
good
much.
To speak to you.
Thanks, Gabby.
I'll
see you soon, Gabby.
Bye, darling. Bye, darling.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
From the top of the charts to treading the boards across the UK, our next guest can do it all. She's back as Violet in the touring production of 9 to 5 The Musical, and here to tell us more is someone that gets paid to sing and dance to Dolly Parton songs. What a way to make a living. It's the one and only Louise Redknapp.
Hello.
Hey.
Lovely Louise, one of the nicest, sweetest people in this business. How are you?
Oh, bless you. How are you?
Yeah, we're really well, thank you. But listen, is this right that you're physically in rehearsals now?
I am. I am in rehearsals, sat in a little office to the side of the stage part where we're rehearsing. Talking to you guys.
Okay, so how are rehearsals going so far for 9 to 5, the musical, on tour?
You know, yeah, it's just nice to be back. I mean, I came in yesterday afternoon, which was my first day back in, and you just forget what a piano sounds like and a group of people singing together and sort of that energy in a room. So, we're all loving it. I don't know if we're all remembering it, but we're loving it.
Yeah, but you've done it before. So is it not like riding a bicycle?
Do you know, for me, I'm really lucky. That's why this is such a lovely show for me to come back and do. Like you said, I've done it for, 8, 10 months, and then a big gap in between. So I've got a lot of new cast members, which is nice. So it freshens up the show and, you know, shows a little bit of a different light and shade to it. But, yeah, for me, I'm hoping most of it's going to come back. But you know what it's like sometimes. Like, it's so easy to just forget stupid little things. So, but over the next couple of weeks, I'm hoping it's all going to come back and just loving being here, really.
OK, so we're talking rehearsals here. Can you just... Now, Ricky says these are the words of the song. Ricky?
I didn't know I got it wrong.
I know that now. I just can't think of what it is to be
go
right.
On, say your version.
We tumble out of bed, have a fumble in the kitchen. It's not that, is it?
It's not a fumble in the kitchen. Okay. Not that I know of, anyway. Okay. Maybe sometimes it is, but not on a daily basis on this show.
So being in a musical, I'm toying with the idea. I was toying with it yesterday because I'd like that stability. Does it feel like stable going to work every day, knowing your job? Do you love that? Knowing what you've got to do.
You know what, Ricky? You'll know this. It is such a different kind of mentality to when you're on tour or you're making an album where you're very much your own person.
Yeah.
When you go into a West End show or a touring show, you become part of such a massive team. And even though when you're on tour doing music, you are, but you've got your own schedule. I think what's nice about it is just... I love music. I love performing. It doesn't really matter what type of music I'm doing. So I love the fact that I get to do both. And being in a show, it becomes quite nice because you know what to expect every day. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love then changing it up and releasing an album and going to do something like that. But it's that normal. It becomes normal every day. You go in, you do your job, you know what you're singing, you know kind of the reactions you're going to get. And that part is nice, especially after being at home for 2 years.
But you're still doing Louise the singer, though, as well, away from this, aren't you? Because you just released some tracks.
Yeah, I had a new album a couple of years ago called Heavy Love, which sort of, I mean, it doesn't feel like a couple of years ago now, but obviously with all what's gone on. And I'm currently, just making a new album now. It's just nice. I've got to that stage in my music career where I love doing it because I love doing it. And, you know, luckily the last album did pretty good. So I've got the chance to do another one, working with some great writers, singers. And it's just nice to get back in the studio and write. It's sort of one of my favourite things to do.
I've got a piece of paper here. I've just seen you're going everywhere with your tour, going back to 9 to 5 now. You're going everywhere.
I know. Yeah, it's a pretty, it's nice. I mean,
it's a huge tour.
Sorry, I just saw it too.
My word, Louise.
I know. Do you know what, though? It's actually quite good for me because a lot of the places I can drive home in the night, which is most probably going to be shattering, so I'm still going to have to do the school run in the morning. But I'm sort of away for a couple of weeks and I'm home for a couple of weeks. So it's quite, you know, it's quite nicely laid out for me, which works. And, you know, as I know for a lot of people, they love just being in the West End. But for me, being on tour
is
so important as well in my other job, which is music and albums, because that's where you equally want to take those shows. So it's great for me on, you know, lots of levels.
It's just so lovely to get around, especially because we've been in lockdown. You're going to Glasgow, you're going to Edinburgh. Yeah, you can't drive home and do the school run that day.
No, those ones, and Sunderland, no, those ones I'm going to stay up there. I mean, I love going to Edinburgh, actually. You know, there's always, in Glasgow, there's always cities that you look forward to going to. And when you're on tour, you know where all the best brunch places are for, like, poached egg on toast.
Yeah, I'm not going to name any cities by name, but there are some times when they say, oh, do you want a hotel? And I'm like, yes, I do. And other places they go, do you want to go home? Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of that. Yeah. I'm a real home girl. If I can get home, I will. Even if I get home like 1 o'clock in the morning, I can have a little bit of Netflix in my own bed, bowl of cereal, get up in the morning. You just feel that you've kind of regrounded yourself and then gone again. It's just nice to get away. I will never, ever moan about the job I have ever again after lockdown. I just think, I just feel that we're all so lucky when we do get to travel and do amazing things that I don't really ever want to moan about it.
Louise, did you just say you have your cereal and then you go to bed?
Yeah, I do. I like a bowl of cereal when I come off stage.
You have a bowl of cereal when you come off stage.
Yeah, you get in from a night out and have a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because it saves time in the morning.
You don't have your cereal in the morning?
No, you go straight into lunch.
Oh, you go straight to lunch.
It is nice though when you wake up and you know how it's your own shower and you don't have to work it out.
Absolutely.
I'm in a hotel at the moment and every day I'm a bit like, well, I still haven't worked it out. There's a knack to it.
Yeah, and you've only got a choice of so many outfits, you know, clothes, where when you're indoors...
Tell me about it, Louise.
You can decide what you want to wear.
I know.
Oh, listen, good luck with the tour. Break a leg. You're just, as I said, you're one of the loveliest people on the planet. Oh. You're the sweetest person. Have a great time and wish your whole tour, the whole team, because it's everybody, because there's a huge amount of you that are going out on tour.
Yeah, well, I will do.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
For their latest show, our next guests get haunted in a house, a very big house in the country. Their new series of ghosts starts on BBC One tonight at 8:30, and here to tell us more are a pair that are most definitely too cool for school. It's the Dead Good, Charlotte Ritchie and Kyle Smith-Bino!
Yes! Yes, welcome both of you. You have no idea how overexcited I am.
Oh, Dapido,
thank you for that.
Yeah, that was great.
No, I really am. Your show is proper family television. We all sit down as a family. We've now watched season one and two three times, and I've had the secret link. So welcome, both of you.
The secret link?
The secret link to watch tonight's show.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I need to see it. I need to see the show before it comes out.
Oh, it's so good. All right, so for people who haven't seen Ghosts, Kyle, come on. Yeah, Ricky?
I haven't seen it as yet.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, I know it's ridiculous, isn't it?
I actually don't know if I want to carry on with this interview.
You can face away.
No, but this is let's turn a negative into positive.
Let's turn this round on us.
Right, sell it to me.
Okay.
Go on, Kyle. Okay.
It's a show about a young couple who inherit a old house, and it's got its issues, and one of the biggest issues is that there are ghosts inhabiting it.
Okay.
Because of the accident that my wife, Alison, played by Charlotte Ritchie, has, she can then see and hear the ghosts, but I cannot because I have not had said accident.
Okay.
That's so good and succinct. Yeah. And they're ghosts from all different eras through history. So we have a caveman, we have somebody from the 1980s, and everything in between.
Do you have one with something stuck in their head?
We have someone with like an arrow through his neck, if that's what you mean.
I've seen a clip of that.
Yeah. Have you got somebody without a head?
Right.
Yeah, headless. The heads everywhere.
Okay, I'm going to watch this now.
It is.
I'm involved. Is it scary?
Sold in the head.
It's not scary, is it?
It's not. There's some little spooky bits. Yeah. But there's quite a scary plague girl that comes in the first series.
I could watch it with my niece and nephew.
Yes, much so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we've loved about it, actually. So many people have told us that that's the one show they feel they can watch with their family and all enjoy.
That's good. We need a bit more of that.
Not the one show. One of them. Yeah, no, I don't mean selling another show.
It's Ghosts that we're talking about.
It's one of the shows that you can watch with your family.
But so here's the thing. You can see, Charlotte, obviously, the character, can see the ghost, but you can't see the ghost. So when you're filming it, how on earth, which is the thing my 14-year-old daughter wanted to know last night, how do you not laugh, Kyle?
I do.
Yeah.
You have to pretend they're not there.
Yeah. It's a really hard job.
It is. I think you actually have the hardest job.
Yes.
I do.
Have we got that? Is that recorded?
Yeah. Well,
make that your ringtone.
Yeah.
It is very difficult. And in between series, like going back to series, that's when the first few days is always a bit tricky, when I forget that I can't respond to them.
And you can't look at them or anything. Yeah. But they also can't react to you. I mean, because they're the team behind Horrible Histories, and I have a huge Horrible Histories fan. I'm happy to admit it. Still love Horrible Histories. I know they're recording a new series of that as well. But they are so funny. It's the whole team that write it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the group, the sort of core ghosts, they call them... Their company's Idiots Assembled, and the six of them originally were the writers on Horrible Histories. They're not anymore, and they went off and did their thing.
Yeah.
So they're the core six ghosts, and then you have Katie Wicks and Lolly Adefope, who's extra two ghosts in that, and they kind of form an ensemble.
Yeah.
Kyle, am I right in thinking you want to write more because you want to get in the team, don't you? The writing team.
Get me a writing job on there.
That's what you really want.
No, I'd love to.
I think you should start throwing your weight around more. You know, like when on Friends they start directing them.
Right,
in the later years. I think you could get in by insisting you direct one.
We could start writing that into contracts and things. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Mm. I will as well. I can't write, but I'll just get in there.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
but that's what you want to do, don't you? You want to do comedy.
I do want to write more. So I'm working on that at the moment. I'm meant to be writing... I've got a deadline for today. I haven't done it.
What do you mean?
I haven't done anything.
What are you meant to be writing?
I'm working on a show and I haven't...
Are we allowed to talk about it?
No.
Okay.
How do you write? Do you write on a computer or on a pad?
On a computer, yeah.
Okay.
I write bullet points and then I write the thing.
And yeah. Charlotte, you yeah. as well. So you've gone, you're on Netflix now with your show, with your other show, because isn't it, it was on Channel 4 and now you're going to Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Do you mean Feel Good?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That was, well, it was on Channel 4 and then Channel 4 politely declined to do the second series, but luckily Netflix was well up for it. So we did the second series of that and that was out in April time, I think.
And everyone, year. I mean, that's a massive show as well.
It's been, I've had lots of people, it seems to have really sort of touched a lot of people. Lots of people yeah. feel very, yeah, sort of drawn to it. And I'm very proud of it. I love it. I think it's amazing. And it was written by Mae Martin and Joe Hampson. And yeah, Mae's just incredible and has kind of put everything out there and I think people have really responded. So yeah.
Well, it's incredible. So the two of you, we've just listed some of the biggest shows on television that you're in. Look, that's so lovely. They both, I wish, sometimes on radio, you want to be able to snapshot a moment. And at that moment, the two of you had the best smiles. This sort of great feeling of happiness and joy that you're doing
really
those
nice
shows.
To be part of
it is,
like,
yeah.
So many people love.
Also, you just feel so proud because we know, obviously, now all the people that make and write the shows, just so proud of them as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
People like Jamie, we've known for a long time and doing Stathlete's Flats and just seeing how successful it is. And same with May. And yeah, it's brilliant.
When you're doing promo for Ghosts, how often do you get asked if you've ever seen a ghost?
Every single time.
Okay, well, I'll stay away from that question.
We actually weren't really... do you know what's weird is that we didn't ask each other ever. I don't think we ever had that conversation about whether we'd ever... if anyone believed in ghosts until, like, quite recently.
Let's just quickly tell people what they can expect tonight, then, on the new series.
We do delve into another history of one of the ghosts that we haven't delved into yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot more in this series of going into the backstories of the ghosts, which is brilliant.
It's very sad.
It's always sad.
The ghost stories, there's real stories of what happened to them are just heartbreaking.
So it's got a bit of everything, this show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll laugh, you'll cry.
Chills, thrills,
it's properly
sadness.
Good.
It is quite sad, and I think the existential thing of you remembering that they are all in purgatory, you forget that every now and again, and the show reminds you, and you're like, oh, yeah.
That's
sad. Well, I loved every single moment of it, and everybody's got to watch it. It's actually a rule they have to watch it tonight because it's that good. It's going to make everybody feel good. You're going to laugh. You're going to... Hells Bells, who works on the show, she is obsessed as well with... and she's standing behind the glass and just smiling and nodding. Honestly, congratulations. Send my love to everybody involved because I just think it's such a great show.
Thank you.
It's
wonderful. Thanks so much.
You'll be watching it all day, won't you, Ricky?
I'll be watching it all day. It's great to know I haven't run out of things to enjoy.
It's so good.
I'm
watch
so excited.
That all day.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, it's Gabby Roslin, sitting in for the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky. We've already heard from three magnificent guests, but there's still so much more to come. Funny man Stephen K. Amos with news of his role in the award-winning play My Night with Reg at the Turbine Theatre. And the stand-up superstar Kerry Godleman tickles our ribs ahead of her rescheduled tour, Bosch. All of that and more still to come. So let's get right back to it. Dapper Dave, please tell me, who's next?
If he's standing up and you're sitting down, you are guaranteed to be entertained by our next guest. He's starring in the award-winning comedy My Night with Reg at the Turbine Theatre in London. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our morning with Stephen. It's the brilliant Stephen K. Amos!
Hello, lovely. How are you?
Well, good morning, my lovely Gabby. How on earth are you? I'm most agreeable.
I'm very pleased to hear that, Stephen K. Amos.
Thank you.
You are going Thanks. To... not OK, we're going to talk about stand-up. Of course we're going to talk about your stand-up. We have to talk about this play because I love My Night with Reg. I think it's a phenomenal play. How exciting that you're doing this.
Oh, well, thank you. Do you know what? To be honest, I hadn't heard of the play myself, but having got engrossed and embossed right through in it, it's a wonderful piece written by Kevin Elliott. It's a six-hander. And it's set in 1985 at the height of the AIDS epidemic in the UK. And the action takes place over a few years, but in one scene. It's in someone's flat, a flat of the character called Guy. And I'm so lucky to be able to be working in these difficult times, we must point out, with a fantastic company. It's great fun.
And it's an incredible place as well, the Turbine Theatre in Battersea here in London. I mean, it's just to be, as you say, to be back out there and doing your thing live. Because for an actor, and for obviously we all know and love you for as being a stand-up comic and a host as well. But there you are in front of an audience again. How much are you loving the idea of playing in front of a live audience?
Oh, do you know what, Gabby? I've got to say, and hello, Sam, as well. I'm not going to ignore
you. Hi, Stephen.
Hi,
buddy.
Honestly, the first night back on the stage, treading the boards with these fine company, was quite nerve-wracking because we didn't quite know what to expect. I'd experienced it, of course, doing stand-up because a couple of weeks before I was doing a venue in Brighton and there was about 1,500 people there, and they were so eager, so hungry for it, because what you forget as a performer, is that the audiences have also missed out. And the first night was just, I mean, sounds cliche, but it was electric. The audiences were on the edge of their seat because the play, even though, you know, the subject matter isn't laugh out loud, the play itself is funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny play. It's a moving play. It's really about friendships, betrayal, love, and the audiences find the laughs. It's wonderful.
It's very clever how you achieve that, because obviously It's a Sin was based on the same tragic crisis, and yet that had some... For me, It's a Sin was the greatest series I've ever watched,
yeah.
Because within one episode, you could be crying with laughter, and then obviously crying through sadness too. It was incredibly powerful, but it's very clever how you do that on stage.
Do you know, I read the play myself, and there were bits that I didn't even spot just from reading the play. But when you see it, and all these characters come to life, because each character is well-rounded, and you get to know them within seconds, within minutes of the piece. You understand the friendships, you understand the rivalry, and if you watch it, it sometimes can look like it could be played as a farce. You know, lots of secrets, in and out, exits, and all that stuff. However, we play, as I say, really straight. And one minute you hear the audience guffawing, and then the next minute you could hear a pin drop, because there are some moments that are so touching.
Oh,
one of my
yes.
favourite characters in the piece is one of the central characters, Guy, whose flat it is. And he's got this unrequited love for another character that's never resolved. And you just really feel for him, played by the amazing Paul Keating, who is just a fun... And then the cast itself, I should point out, you may recognise a couple of them. One, Gerard McCarthy, 6 years in Hollyoaks. So it's got a good stellar cast. I think, if anything, that's probably the upshot of being in a pandemic. A lot of people were available.
Now, Stephen, can we just clear up something? Is this an urban myth about you being related to a certain pop band? This is something
goodness.
You put out there. Come on, spill. Come on, Stephen.
Do you know what? There are two urban myths, three actually, that I put out there. One, that my cousins were indeed 80s pop sensation Five Star. That is absolutely true.
I did
put
out there.
Now, did you put this myth out yourself then?
I did, of course, and people believed it.
So what? Why did that come about?
Because I remember, my twin sister and myself were massive fans back in the day, because they were billed as, you know, Britain's answer to the Jackson 5 and all this. And we fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And they were due to play at a venue near my house in South London. And me, as a young whippersnapper, thought I'd try and impress my friends by telling them that I'd get free tickets to go and watch them because they were my cousins. And of course, I was the most popular lad in college.
What was the
much
track?
As I was when I was a little kid, when I told my friends at primary school my mother was Shirley Bassey.
That's
even better.
There's a theme here. There's a theme. I even told my comedy colleagues, get this, most recently, that my aunt is Baroness Amos. Come on.
But Systematic.
Systematic.
That was a song
Systematic.
I remember.
Systematic. I love that
song.
Oh, my
God. They had a string of hits.
They're
amazing.
They did.
And I was very fortunate enough to meet virtually all of them during my career because of various TV projects and stuff. And they didn't disappoint. They did not disappoint.
Stephen, you've got something to announce about the dates because it's been extended at the Turbine. It was due to end on the 21st of August. When's the run ending now?
That's true, Sam. Basically, the run has now been extended at the lovely Turbine Theatre until September the 11th. Another three more weeks. And if you've not been to the regenerated Battersea area, it's worth just a look. I mean, it's incredible. My sister lives in Battersea Village, just up the road, and I hadn't been there until we started doing rehearsals along the Thames, and it's just like, it's a different world.
I've heard it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, but she's going to be so thrilled. You can just say to her, well, I chose the show and the theatre because it's just around the corner from you, and she'll believe you.
Of course she will.
She will believe me, but I've told the castmate that my sister is Rihanna, so I'm not sure they'll believe that she lives in Battersea.
You're incorrigible, sir.
Well, the show's called My Night with Reg. It's the Turbine Theatre for 3 weeks on from August, so into September. You can get your tickets at theturbinetheatre.com. What an absolute pleasure. Take care of yourself, Stephen. Bye, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
And you.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
She can make you giggle and make you cry. Whether on stage or on telly, our next guest knows exactly how to play it. She's traversing the UK later this year with her Bosch stand-up tour. So, ladies and gentlemen, Bish Bash Bosch, it's the brilliant Kerry Godleyman.
Kerry, you
Hello.
Brilliantly funny woman who also makes us all cry. In
That's
the
good, isn't it? I never thought of it like that.
Well, you do. You do, because you make us properly laugh. I mean, sort of belly laugh. And then also in Afterlife, which you have you Afterlife 3, which we can watch, obviously, Netflix via Skype. Can you please tell us when is that coming out?
I think it might be later this year because we've shot it and I think Ricky's edited it. So I've got a feeling it will be not too long to wait.
You are brilliant because you can do the acting thing and you can do the very funny thing. When you do your stand-up, goodness me, Kerry.
Oh, this is great. This is a great day so far.
Well, you properly. Ricky and I before, we were talking about it and one of my favourite routines that you do is about names.
Oh, naming kids.
Oh, my word. Because your kids have
really
the best
hard
names.
To name. Well, it's, you know, you practice, you shout them out in the street and think, do I want to be that person?
So your kids are Elsie and Frank. So did you practice, where did you practice shouting out their names then?
Mostly in my own kitchen. But, you know, it's just some names you think, oh, that's quite cool. That's a cool name. I think Elvis was floated at one point. And then my husband was like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not shouting Elvis at the gate.
I can imagine it'd be hard to tell someone off called Elvis.
Exactly. And it's a really tough act to follow, Elvis. It's like, he's really got to bring the swagger if you're going to call your kid Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, after Elvis Costello, no. Well, I don't know any others.
So for the new tour, for Bosch, there you are, you're going back out there, you're seeing audiences again, you're going to be seeing the white of people's eyes.
No, it's exciting.
I mean, you must have had all this time to work out what you're going to do. Are you just going to talk about the past 18 months, or is there a whole other stuff you're going to put out there?
It's all a bit of everything. So the tour was already four shows in when we all locked down. So I'm resuming a tour that was sort of already written and scheduled, but obviously you can't ignore the pandemic altogether. So I've kind of, you know, written some new bits to sort of drop in.
And is it all about the lifestyle and the worrying that you do? You read lifestyle books, is this right?
There's a bit of that. There's a bit of lifestyle kind of reflection. And basically, the name Bosch was a nickname I picked up on Taskmaster. And I half like it. Like all nicknames, they're sort of affectionate, but a little bit of a dick. So I half like it and I half resent it. So I'm kind of trying to unpack, you know, that your personality or your nature. And it's like, I do have this boshy sort of leaning.
Right.
But I don't really want to be like that all the time. When I'm sort of, you know, being a mum, you don't want to over Bosch. You don't want to be over-boshy, do you? You want to have a bit of a sort of nurturing nature.
Over-boshy.
I want to be like, come on, crack on! I don't want to be like that 24/7. It's exhausting.
So when would you under-bosh? Can you under-bosh as well as over-bosh?
Yeah, you can under-bosh on holiday. Like, you know when you're on holiday and you go, do you know what? I don't have to do anything. I like that. That's under-boshy.
That's under-boshy.
It's the extreme opposite. Yes.
Right.
When you're like, I think I'll have a little glass of wine with my lunch.
That's under-boshing. All right.
That's under-boshing.
Over-boshing is when you have four glasses of wine. Yeah, would that be over-boshing?
No, overwatching is when you itinerise your head off and you're like, right, I've got this to do and that to do and that to do and this to do, and you're sort of, you know, task focused like a maniac. That
right.
is.
Can we just talk about Taskmaster? Is it as much fun? Every time I watch it, I think, I'm not a comedian, but I would love to do it because I just think it looks so like the best fun.
It really is the most fun. It's ridiculously fun. You can't believe it's sort of called a job because it's not really. And one of my favourite things is sitting doing the studio stuff because Greg and Alex are so funny. You've got like a front row seat for the best double act on TV. It's just so much fun.
It is amazing how many comedians make... honestly, the best actors. You know, you can just bring that pathos and you can bring the humour and everything. And if you think about all these comedians who then go into acting, and you blow our minds.
It's because they're so competitive.
Well, half of them were actors in the first place. If they're anything like me, I was an actor and I couldn't get any work, so I started doing stand-up. So it's kind of like they sort of find each other in the end. But when I left drama school, I just wasn't getting enough work. It's so hard to be an actor. So I just started...
Charlie Chaplin said, it's easier to make people laugh than cry. Discuss.
Oh, I don't know about that. He's a good example of being able to do both, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
No, I don't know. It depends, doesn't it, on the material that you're doing. I mean, with the drama stuff, I don't write it, so it's just such a privilege to have to get to come in and do these amazing lines and play these characters, but I haven't created them. With the stand-up, it's like I said, it's me. I've written it, and it's just me dialed up.
Right.
So they're slightly different. They're slightly different things. Be weird if I made everyone cry as a stand-up. That's definitely not doing it.
I could. Do you know what? If there's one thing that I'd be terrified to do, it would be to do stand-up. The idea of standing on the stage and then if somebody doesn't laugh, that makes my stomach awful.
And the worst thing is sometimes when you are making most people laugh, but you're not making one person laugh, and then you zoom in on them.
Oh,
you're like, why aren't you laughing? And they might have had a bad day, but you're like, what's wrong with you?
Oh,
it's very annoying.
Everyone will be laughing. Everyone will be laughing because you're doing this tour goes on forever. September to May, you're going...
We're broken up.
Everywhere.
I mean, the nightmare... I mean, because of all the lockdowns and the constant rule changing, so that went in and then it came out and then it went back in and then it came out, so that's why it looks like it stretches out. But actually... God, the people that have to schedule these shows, I don't envy them because they're looking at all these dates and all these locations and all these other comedians trying to fit it in. It's quite a big deal. So I suppose it's spread out, but it's not like one night after another.
No, but you've got a lot in. And I don't know if you know, but you are sold out in a whole number of places.
Am I?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Did you know? That's nice, I can tell you.
Do you know what? I could do that Steve Wright in the Afternoon thing where he just reads out every date, but I'm just going to say go to kerrygodliman.com if you want
that's
tickets.
That's the good thing about the internet, isn't it? It consolidates all information into one very handy location.
I mean, Kerry, I will read them out if you want. I
mean,
it'll take about 20 minutes.
Don't do that. It'll be boring.
Kerry, have a fantastic tour. What a pleasure to speak to you, my lovely.
And to you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
The big teams are splashing the cash, but will that guarantee success? Our next guest has a better idea than most. The new football season kicks off tomorrow night exclusively on Sky Sports. And here to tell us more is a man with his finger on the pulse of the game and his ear to all the grounds. It's David Jones!
David Jones! Morning, David!
Morning. I think that's the best introduction I've ever had in my life.
Would you like it in MP3 format so you can save it as your ringtone on your phone?
I think it'd be pretty cool. There should be sort of my walk-on music on Sky in the future. I think that's the way forward.
That's a great idea, David. I like that one. David, can
we
just...
How are we?
Listen, we're really good, but I just have to... I've got a little bone to pick with you. Because I lose my husband on a Sunday night and a Tuesday night because he plays football. And a Monday night, I lose him to you, Monday night football. It's just so... I mean, I have to say, I stand behind the door and I don't let him know that I'm actually watching.
This is a familiar tale, I'm afraid, Gabby.
But it's a great show.
I do feel the wrath of quite a few people for taking people... And I think it's slightly different as well this year because I think there's more excitement probably this summer there has been in the build-up to this football season than there has been for as long as I can remember, really, because we've got the fans back and it feels like we are getting back to some kind of normality. We sort of ploughed through the tough times with football. Everything else stopped, but football found a way to carry on. And I suppose it's a bit like musicians performing without a crowd, you know, and now footballers are going to have their audience back. We'll have the soundtrack to our beautiful game reinstored, and all the passion and the glory and the pain that comes with it, we'll be broadcasting it all to you.
It's really interesting because I have this conversation with my husband a lot. We talk about the audience of a football match being like an audience at a musical, because I love theatre. I'm passionate about theatre. So for me, that theatre was closed during the same time, it was the same for football. And it's about a performance, and it's about everybody coming together, singing those songs, being a part of something that is so deeply entrenched in us and that we love so much. And now we can all come together and do it all over again.
Of course, it's a huge part of the fabric of our life in this country.
Yeah, it is.
In the UK and Ireland, people just live and breathe for football. The communities that get together around a football club every week and suffer.
The thing I have to ask you, when I knew that I was going to be speaking to you, I have to ask you about Harry Kane. Where will he be? Where is he going to be playing football?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question. And I was out last night with a team from Sky, and we met the Premier League to talk about the new season. And we were sort of discussing amongst ourselves what Sunday would look like, given that Spurs are playing Manchester City. And, of course, that has been the big link with Harry Kane, and it has been for a period of weeks now. We think that Harry right now is at the Spurs training ground, or in the vicinity of it, and his new manager, Nuno Espirito Santo, has said that anybody who's trained this week is available to play on Sunday. So it's a very big question. As we go to Spurs on Sunday afternoon, will Harry be there, for one? Will he be playing for Spurs, too? He certainly won't be playing for Manchester City. And I think there are those that feel that maybe once this fixture is out of the way, that storyline might develop a little bit more.
Can I ask you about Jack Grealish? Do you think he's going to fit into Manchester City?
That's a very good question, Gabby. I can clearly see you've done your homework on the football. I don't know, is the honest answer. I mean, generally, Pep Guardiola gets the big transfers right, and it's a lot of money for it to be considered a gamble. I think there is a certainty that he will go there and perform. The question for us is really what position that's going to be in. Is he going to play as a winger? Is he going to play as a midfield player? Could he play as a false forward, if you want to go down that route, Gabby? A false nine. So, you know, I think the one thing about Manchester City is they are the very best when it comes to moving the ball, playing football, carrying it forward quickly. And Jack Grealish is good at all of those things.
And women's football, can we just... My 14-year-old daughter, she loves playing football. She's in the football team at school, and she absolutely loves it. And I just feel that people are looking at women's football in a completely different way these days. I think in the past sort of 2 or 3 years, people's view on women's football has completely changed.
It's grown massively, Gabby, and I think there is actually room for a ton more growth as well. And I think that's one of the main things we're really excited about, I have to say, at the start of this season, because now we are at Sky, the home of the WSL. And I think we feel that given a bit more of a push, given a bit more of a stage, we can only see a huge step forward again for the women's game. We've got the Euros here next summer, and I think it would be amazing to have a brilliant WSL season to kick us into that and hopefully bring real success back to the women's team as well.
David, I've got one more question for you. I know it sounds like an odd thing for a 46-year-old man to say, but I don't actually support a football team because I grew up in a rugby family. If I was going to support a club right now going into this new season, which begins tomorrow, who should I support?
Chelsea.
If you're looking for something a little bit different,
yes,
then I think Brentford could be the club for you.
Brentford.
And I'll tell you why. They're a very progressive football club, on and off the pitch, I would say. And they love to play attractive football. They're not afraid of selling their star players because they're so good at signing new players. And I think it's going to be really interesting watching them this time round. A lot of people always write off the teams that have been promoted, but I think Brentford would be quietly confident that they will have a successful season. And by successful, I mean without getting dragged into the relegation picture. So that's a tip for you, Sam. I think Brentford could be the one.
Buddy, I'm
kick
in.
Off at home against Arsenal tomorrow night.
Well, my sister works with you at Sky Sports, Natalie Pinkham, and she lives in Brentford, so I can stay with her after the games as well. I have heard of Natalie. You've heard of Natalie?
Yeah.
Buddy, what an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. The Premier League
returns to Sky Sports. We have 128 exclusive live games this season, including Brentford versus Arsenal tomorrow, Norwich versus Liverpool, Newcastle versus West Ham, and Tottenham hosting the defending champions Man City, all happening this weekend. Sky Sports will have over 400 live games across the Premier League, EFL, SPFL, and Women's Super League. What an absolute pleasure, David. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for being on.
Enjoy the
season.
Thank
you. You almost called me Gary then
as
well.
No, I didn't. No. I wouldn't because you're too young, you see. You're too young to be a Gary. Thank you, Gary. Have a great season.
Bye.
Cheers, Gaz.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to the best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show podcast with Sky. You can listen every week from wherever you get your podcasts. That way, you'll never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.